that it is a good crowd for July 5th, isn't it? Appreciate that. That's a blessing to see everybody out here and in this house. Appreciate the prayer room tonight. It was a blessing. And I want to go along the lines as something I've had on my heart for quite a while now, and I want to share it with you, and then I'm going to sit down. So if you have your Bibles, look with me in the book of Jude. And I'll let anybody in here pick which chapter, and I'll preach out of whichever chapter you pick. Jude. And we're gonna read the first four verses, and I want to look specifically in verse number 3. And if you wanna go ahead and find it while I'm praying, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Also, I want to read just a few verses there and bring a thought out of those two places. And you pray for us tonight. Father, thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. We thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for Calvary, dying for our sins, shedding your blood for us. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us from the good Word of God. I ask you, Lord, for grace, and I ask you for mercy. And I ask you to help us, help each and every heart in this building, each and every home that's in here, Lord God. I pray that somebody may get some strength tonight, Lord God, including myself. Lord, I need to hear from you above all. And we love you and we thank you and give you praise and glory ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty. I want to look here in verse number 1, Jude. Bible says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, we notice that Jude was the brother of Christ, but he didn't acknowledge himself as that. He is the brother. He is humble enough to take himself out of that and just say, I'm the servant. There's a lot of things that you can read in these verses here that sure would do good if we'd apply it. It'd be a blessing if we could get back to servanthood. And it says this, he said, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God. I'm glad I'm made holy by God. It's not of my works, not anything I've done, not anything I've said, but I'm sanctified by God. And this right here, he says, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. It just keeps getting better. God in heaven has sanctified me, and I'm sealed up in Jesus Christ. It don't get no better than that. And called. Verse number 2, we see mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. And we know this book of Jude, and I'm going to get to it in just a second. We know this book of Jude is to the last people that will stand on this earth in the last times, in the last days. And notice how he salutes them, how he greets them. He says, mercy unto you. He gives them an upward encouraging word. But also he says, peace. He gives them something inward. And then he gives them that love. That's something outward. You know, we need those. If there's anything in these last days that we need some mercy. I do. I'll be the first one to get. I need mercy on a daily basis. Boy, I tell you something else I need in these last days that I'm finding I need more than anything else is peace. I need some peace in a turbulent world. And what I also need to display is love. You know, everybody in this room here is going through hell and high water, going through the meal, been through the meal, or either fixing to go through the meal. And you don't need a harsh word from me. Amen. Somebody needs to love on somebody in these last days. We're in this thing together.
We're fighting the same devil and the same hell and the same tactics out of hell. And we need to love one another and be an encouragement and exhorting to one another. So an outward, an upward, an inward look. Verse number 3 said, beloved. Well, what a word. We'll get to it in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, I'm interested in that phrase. It stuck out to me, I guess, as long as I've ever read this verse, where he said, it's needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. And here in these last, I want to preach on this thought, and I want us to listen, I want to preach on this thought, the final battle. The final battle. And you know, I look at this, and I want to look at, let's look over there in let's look in 1 Thessalonians, if you would. Chapter 5. I want to read you just a couple of verses here out of this, and just to see where we're at. And now, right there we see, in chapter number 4, we see the rapture, the story of the rapture, how it plays out. In chapter number 5, verse number 1, it says, but of the times, notice what Paul says here. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He said, these times that we are in right now, he said, there's no need for me to write unto you. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Watch verse 5. He says, verse number 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, I believe with all of my heart, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we're going to refresh our memory tonight. We know that we are in the last of the last. I believe that with all of my heart. We can see that. And, you know, we're in times like we have never dreamed of seeing. In that prayer room tonight, we heard the story. I believe it was somebody said something about taking the King James Bible out of the schools now. And somebody said something about the Ten Commandments. And you notice how Satan is attacking. And I want us to look tonight on what we're contending for, this final battle that we're fighting. And you and I, Liberty Baptist Church, and a few more, Brother Ken goes to some choice churches all over the United States. He sees, I believe, probably the cream of the crop in the United States of America. And I believe that there's some great churches here. But there's very, very few. I promise you that there's not as many churches in 2023 as there was in 2019. You better believe that they're dwindling out, they're fading away, and they're going to be gone if somebody don't contend for the faith. You've heard the story on how many preachers quit or how many pastors get out of the ministry. I don't know those numbers, and I don't know if I believe them. They said it's a huge But they several that drop out. They several that quit. If we look at this church here, and I know there's a huge crowd on Sunday morning, but here Wednesday night, you are contending for the faith. There's not that many that's seeking after this. And notice with me here, I want us to notice first of all, Jude's fervency to write. Notice here, he addressed this in this final battle. He addressed it to the beloved. And this little word, beloved, here, it is a sweet word. It is a gentle word. It's a kind word. He is addressing somebody in their last moments. He's addressing them in a gentle, kind way in order to speak something to them that He really wants them to hear. Now, you gentlemen, you fellows in here, when you really want to get on your wife's good side, you'll say, sweetheart. You say, baby, and you know what? That gets her ear. And she listens, and then if you haul off and say, hey, how about this? Or hey, how about that? You're probably going to start some kind of little fuss or a little friction going on. But if you start off with that sweetness and that kindness, you'll get the attention. And that's what Jude is trying to do here. He's saying, beloved, I want your attention. I want to tell you something that's very important here. And he's got an address that is gentle. But also notice his aim. Jude says here, he said, I was wanting to write to you. It was all in my heart. I gave all diligence. I wanted to write to you about the common salvation. Jude said, I would have loved to have written a fifth gospel. I would have loved to have written to you and told you all about my brother the Lord. I would have loved to have told you some stories and told you some more things. But he didn't, did he? You know what the Holy Ghost said as Jude's zeal and Jude wanted to write about these things? The Holy Ghost said, hold up. That's not what's on my heart. So we see the address in this fervency to write. And we see Jude's aim. But now let's look at the actual of what he wrote. What did he write about? Well, this book of Jude here, all 25 verses, is warning the final church, the last church, the church you and I are participating in. It's warning us of what we will encounter inside the church and approaching the church and outside. He's warning us of what we're going to see. And he's trying to tell us, he's trying to get us our attention that we might see what's coming. And if you'll study, I promise you, if you'll study out the book of Jude, you can see all of these things unfolding or have already unfolded in our time. This stuff is happening now. This book, little bitty book of Jude, don't let it fool you just because it's just a few short verses. You can read it in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's gone. Honey, there is a... This is massive what's in this book. It is so profound. It's so true that it's coming true today. It's so prophetic. And all of it has come true. All of these things. Now, we see the fervency to write. But also, let's notice the fight Jude suggests. Let's look now. Beloved, he said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He said, it was needful. It was needful for me to write unto you. He said, it was a must. He said, it's something that I could not get away from. He said, it's not what I... He said, I wanted to write about the common salvation. He said, but it was absolutely a necessity that I write unto you what I'm about to write. The fight, Jude suggests, and exhorts you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Notice the determination in this fight. Notice the determination. Earnestly. That earnest there, it means to give everything that you have and put it towards what you're doing. when I earnestly, if I earnestly do something, I am giving it my undivided attention and I'm going at it with every ounce of my being. I'm earnestly going towards this battle. Not only here, not only the determination of this fight, but the degree. This word contend here, we see this contend word. It is a wrestling term from back in Paul's day. And you know, they say back then when they wrestled, it wasn't like WWE or whatever it is, WWF, and you know, they get up there and jump off the ropes. But back then when they would wrestle, they would take one and they would pin him to the ground, put the chokehold on him, and it wouldn't be when he tapped out, but when he quit breathing and died, that's when he would win. You didn't win until somebody was dead. So it is a contention. It is a fight like you've never experienced in your life. We're fighting a battle today that our ancestors didn't fight. We're fighting a battle that our the people that come before us did not fight. We're seeing, I believe with all of my hearts, we're seeing demons and we're seeing things in the church and outside the church that's coming against us that are absolutely horrifying and have never been seen before. Jude says we got to contend. We've got to wrestle this thing. You remember in Ephesians here last time or whenever it was I taught in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. These things we wrestle with. And, you know, this thing here, this is the main wrestling match. This is the final battle. You're going to fight this battle right here. You, as a child of God, as one that is faithful to the house of God and faithful to your God, you're going to fight this battle to the day that you die or we go up in the rapture. And when we go up in the rapture, they're going to fight the battle of this right here in order to be saved, in order to get to heaven. And they're going to give their lives contending for the faith. You're going to see in Revelation chapter number, what is it? Chapter number 7, there's going to be 144,000 that's going to go, Jews, that's going to go out and they're going to preach the gospel. People are going to accept Christ. They're going to be saved. And they're going to pronounce that they're saved. They're going to contend for the faith. And the Antichrist is going to chop their head off. Contention. But you and I, for our children's sake, for those, and I thank God, well, what a blessing it is the kids is getting to go up there to that youth camp. I'm going to tell you something. You will not regret sending them youngins up there. That's a great man of God up there. And Brother Dana is a great evangelist that's going to be there. And that's going to be good. But you are contending. You are contending. Why are you contending? You're contending for your loved ones. You're contending for who's coming behind us. You're fighting to keep what's in here alive. I don't want it to be dead and dried up. I don't want it to be something that's mundane, that you come to that's boring as all get out. Honey, we need the Lord in here. We need to hear from God. I love Brother Ken. He's my best friend. But I don't need to hear Brother Ken. I need to hear God through Brother Ken. When somebody gets up and sings, Miss Emily, or my wife got up, or whoever, Miss LaFonda gets up and sings, boy, what a pretty voice all of them has. But I need the Holy Ghost to speak to my heart. You can go to a concert and get somebody with way prettier voices than anybody in here probably. But that ain't what I'm after. It's not what you're here for. We're here because we need God. And we need Him bad. I need Him. I mean, I'm telling you, I need Him. And I need Him bad. The fight, Jude suggests, the determination, the degree of this fight, but the desire of this fight. What is the desire of this fight? What are we fighting over? Back when you was in school, most all you fellas my age and older, you fought before. Knuckles, noses, lips, eyes. We fought. We had a reason we fought. Somebody said something about somebody, somebody's after the girl or whatever, you know, but we fought. We got in the playground and knocked one another out. But we had a reason. We didn't just say, hey, you want to fight? Come on. Well, we may have. We had a reason. Why are we fighting? The faith. The faith. Not my faith, but the faith. It's worth fighting over. It's the faith. Why in the world are we in here tonight? The faith. The faith. Why in the world would a man study and labor over a message? Why does Brother Ken desire to go away from his home and drive all over the country and preach the book? Why do men do that? Why? Because of the faith. Simple. And nothing else. Nothing else. The fight Jude suggests. But let's look at this faith. The faith that's so valuable. The faith that's so valuable. You know what the faith is in a nutshell? It's that right there. That's the faith. That's 100% of it. From Genesis to Revelation. You know what the devil is after as he's trying, Brother Jake, I believe it was you said that. You know what he's after? Trying to get that king out of all the thousands of books in that library there, all of the filthy books in that library, all of the myths of other gods in that library, and he wants that one single book out of that library because he's after the faith. You want to know why they're not offended by any other plaque or any other thing that's hanging on the wall in the courthouse or any Capitol building in the United States? But they're offended at the Ten Commandments because it's attached to the faith. The faith. I ain't the best Christian, but I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm His. I belong to Him. I love the faith. I fall. I falter. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, you're the biggest dummy that ever walked. But I'm still His. I'm born again. And ain't nothing going to change that. Notice with me, the faith, it's our Bible. This Bible is our faith. This Word of God. Why are you so dogmatic about the King James Bible? Why? Because it is the foundation of our faith. We have got to protect this right here above all. You've heard Brother Ken talk about this pulpit. He said something there a while ago. This pulpit's not going to move. Why didn't he say the piano? Why didn't he say the organ? Why didn't he say the pews? Why didn't he say the balcony? He said the pulpit is going to stand firm. Why is that? Because the Word of a thrice holy God is preached from this pulpit of wood to a lost and dying world and to the children of God. The truth, the faith. That's the faith. It's the bedrock. It's what you get down to. It's what we live by. It's the faith. I'm going to heaven. My heart's going to quit beating one day. But it's going to be the last time. And I'm trusting 110% on these 66 books, 1,187 chapters. I'm trusting in this to get me to glory. What it says is what I'm believing. The faith. The faith. I ain't trusting in what... I have no idea what the preacher preached. No idea. I've tried my best to remember it. But I can remember what he said. You know where I got what he said? He didn't come and audibly speak to me in my ear and say, "You're saved." No, no, no. I read Romans chapter 10. I read John 3:16. And I know He said that I'm saved. And I believe every word of it. I believe every word of it. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It's that simple. This is the bedrock. It's what I'm banking on. It's our Bible. It's our bedrock. And you know what else this faith is? It's our blessed hope. Honey, this... I ain't never been so blessed according to this world in my entire life, I don't guess. But I am more ready to leave today than I ever have been. That don't make a lick of sense, does it? I got more junk and things than I've ever had. I'm blessed to the hilt. I'm telling you, I'm blessed. But I'm more ready to leave today than I was when I was broke. I'm telling you the truth. I despise this world. I'm ready to go to glory. I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and serve Him around His throne for all of the ages. I mean, they can start over at the house. Whenever I'm gone, they can start over there. They can pillage. They can plunder. They can burn. They can do what they want to. Have it. Because I'm adios amigos. Saranara, whatever all that means, I'm gone. Amen. I don't speak Spanish. I may have spoken in tongues right then, reckon. Faith that's so valuable. You see, it's valuable. 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. I just want to read you a verse. The Bible says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall do what? Depart from the faith. Sad, isn't it? Oh, let's read it again. It says, the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Venture to say that there's probably, out of all the older Christians in here, the people that's in this building here, we all probably could name, if we sit down for 30 minutes, we could probably name a few that used to be in church. They just ain't no more. They just ain't no more. Why is that? They've departed. Why have they departed? They gave heed to seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils, fables, lies of verse number 4 of our text of these men that's crept in unaware. You see, the devils, now listen to me real close. The devil would love to get you to say a cuss word. He'd like it. He'd like for you to drink. He'd like for you to do whatever. He'd like for you to, you know, do what. He'd like for you to mess your testimony up. But you know what he'd really like? You know what he's after? You know what he's always been after? We go back to Genesis chapter number 3 when he's first on the scene. You know what he's after? Renounce God. He's after when he was back in Genesis all the way to the final in Revelation 20, when he's after God. He wants you to leave this church. I don't care if it's get mad at me, get hurt at me, get hurt at Brother Ken, Miss Renee, get hurt at Daddy and Mama, get hurt at Brother Randall over here, Miss Karen. Get hurt. Just get tired of it. Get lazy, whatever. Just leave. If you want a vacation, if you want this, if you want money, if you want things, a boat, if you want all this, just take it. Just leave. That's what he wants. You notice that next verse? What did they do? Did they waltz in? No, they crept in. If you're creeping, somewhere, if you're sneaking, you're tiptoeing. You know what the stinking devil? Don't say, listen, I'm telling you, I don't care how powerful and how mighty you think you are. He can get you. He can get your children next. And he will. He's creeping in. And he'll trick you if you don't stay focused. I mean it. I'm telling you. you are not, I don't care who you are. I don't care if your granddaddy was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I don't care who you are. If you are not careful, you'll be the one that's out on the street looking at the church turning your nose up. I know great men of God, Brother Ken, that I'm talking about great men that's mad at the church and mad at God. Got hurt. I'm talking about folks who know way more about the Bible than I ever thought of knowing. You know why? Because they gave heed. Be careful what you listen to. Especially, beloved, see what Jude's doing? He's saying, beloved. Beloved, I got something very important I want to say to you. Beloved, please listen to me. I got something I need to tell you. The Holy Ghost has impressed on my heart. He has changed my total direction. I want to tell you. Contend for the Spirit. Earnestly contend for the faith. The faith that's so valuable. But lastly, just simply our finish. As you and I, we're in a place tonight that I believe no other Christian's ever been. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I love prophecy and I love it. I mean, it's just my favorite. It's just what I like. And I look at all the things that's taking place and going on in the world and how it's unfolding. How it's, you know, just it's the Bible is coming alive. I mean, it's literally just popping up. It's absolutely amazing. It's here. And you know what? There's a whole lot of things that I can't do one thing about. But you know what I can do? You know what? I may fall tomorrow. I may do wrong tomorrow that disgraces me, disgraces my family. I may fall flat of my face. But you know what I can do? I can finish. I can finish. You know what Jacob, I love Hebrews 11. You know how Jacob finished? Leaning on that staff. Well, if you look at the life of Jacob, he was a mess and a half. He was a mess. You know what a lot of you, including myself, you know what we are? We ain't nothing but a big mess. I'm telling you the truth, most of the time, I don't know if I'm going or coming or done being. I'm telling you, I'm a mess, Brother Shane, I'm telling you, I'm a mess. A flat out mess. But you know what I can do? I can keep the faith. You may not be able to quote John 3:16. You may not even be able to quote John 11:35. Jesus wept. I can quote that. You may not be able to do a whole lot of nothing in the church. You may not can carry a tune in the bucket. You may not be called to preach, can't teach, don't know the books of the Bible, but you can finish. Saying I once was lost, but I'm now found. I don't know a whole lot. My life's a mess. My home's busted up. My children's gone crazy. I ain't got no money. You might have 1,000 things piled up against you, but you ought to stand on your hind legs and say, listen to me. I'm a born again child of the King, and when it's all said and done, I'm going home. Hallelujah to God. Whew. It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. It's about all I got going for me, Brother David. I'm saved, Brother Chuck. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. The devil may ride you like a wet mule. He may take you, and I mean, he may take you to the woodshed and back by tomorrow evening this time. But there's one thing that he can't do. He cannot pluck you out of the Father's hand. I raise both hands and say hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to His name. That I'm untouchable in those matters. I'm untouchable. He may beat me. He may bruise me. He may make me bleed down here on this earth. But He cannot take me out of the Father's hand. I'm sealed. And I'm one day going to be delivered. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's good to be saved, ain't it? Listen, how do I need to finish? I need to stay in the fight. You need to stay in the fight. I don't care if church may seem boring. I don't care if church may seem dull. I don't care if you don't feel like it. Listen, don't let the devil say you out that this is going to get in your way. The devil will try his best to distract you. He'll try to detour you. He'll try to get your attention somewhere else. But you stay in the fight and come here and be here when you don't feel like it. When you know, listen, come here and be in the fight. Fight the old fight of faith. Be faithful to the things of God. Be faithful to it. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Listen to me. You know what the devil will tell me a lot of times? I'll just be honest with you. You know what he tells me? God ain't going to hear you. You pray the same thing all the time. Get down in your altar and pray. I got a promise in this book that He's there waiting to meet me in my altar. He's waiting to hear me. I got a promise out of God, out of the faith here, that He'll do that. And stay focused. Hard to do in these last days. It's hard. I'm telling you the truth. I've never seen so many gimmicks and thrills. I mean, there's something new all the time. And I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoy the fire out of it. I love to go places. You can ask my wife. I love to do things. I like to spend money. I like for Jamie to feel good. I like to see my wife and kids enjoy things. But you know what I've got to do? Beloved, you know what I've got to do, beloved? I've got to stay focused. Ain't no problem going on vacation every once in a while. Ain't no problem at all. But you don't let the vacation be God. Ain't nothing wrong with ball. Listen, but don't let the ball be God. Y'all seen that movie Castaway, I guess. You don't need no Wilson sitting up on you. I'm just telling you, I'm going to tell you like it is. The devil will put anything in your life just to get your focus off of the faith. The faith is important. Job, you want a promotion? That's something cheap the devil will give you. He'll give you a promotion. You want $2 more an hour? You want whatever? He'll give you... Is that all you want? You cheap. You cheap. Don't sell out to cheap. This is what matters. The faith is what matters. I got to stay focused on what really matters. Focus on the Word. Focus on prayer. Focus on the church. Focus on the people of God. We've gotten away from that. Well, we need nowadays to love one another more than ever. We need one another. All the way from over here. You know, I'm sitting over here. I'm on the 20-yard line on that side of the football field. Y'all on the 20-yard line on this side of the football field. I have to wave at y'all every once in a while. I don't get to see y'all and speak to you every Sunday, but I love y'all. Brother Conrad used to frame houses with Conrad. Love y'all. And you call me whenever. I can't do much, but I'll do whatever I can. And we ought to do that. We ought to love one another. I love what Brother Vince said. Brother Howard said, when you call on prayer in this church, you get that prayer. You know, when you see them prayer requests on Facebook, when you hear somebody's lost a loved one, when you hear somebody's went to the hospital or whatever it might be, you know what you ought to do right then? I say, I need to go to the restroom right quick. I've prayed in about a lot of bathrooms, even a few porta potties. I'm telling you the truth. I'll get in that bathroom and I'll kneel down, grab hold to that vanity, and I'll pray. Right then. Stay focused. Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for your precious word. Oh God, I ask you for help tonight. I pray you'd help this church and this pastor. I pray, God, the good Holy Ghost would breathe on this place. And I pray you'd bury us in the things that really matter. And Lord God, we love you and we thank you for grace and we thank you for mercy and truth. And I ask you to bless each family and each home that's made up here. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's sweet and holy name. Amen.